Good morning. I'm wondering why we're all wearing green today. It's such an odd thing. No, I'm just kidding. it is always good to gather together. It's good to be in a celebratory spirit, but always good to gather in the midst of our worship service this morning. It is good to see each and every one of you gathered here with us. A special welcome to those of you who might be with us here for the first time. If you are visiting St. John's this morning, a special welcome to you. There are little cards on the end and I think in the center of all of your pews with a little picture of a mouse on them, just asking for some very brief information so that we can be in touch with you and so that you can learn more about us. Once you fill that out on your way out, to the right of the back doors, there's a little basket that you can place them in so that we can be in touch with you. And I trust that all of you know, whether visitor or regular, that no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. We do have quite a few announcements this morning, lots of reminders and lots of things coming up in the days and weeks ahead. The first of which is you have an insert in your bulletins this morning. It's a whole page, and it is just longing to be on your fridge. This is your guide to Lent and Easter at St. John's. It is quickly approaching, and there's lots going on. So rather than bombarding you with lots of little announcements, we thought we'd get ahead of it and just give you a schedule for the whole season. So beginning with Ash Wednesday, which is coming up not this next week, but the week after, all the way through Easter Sunday morning. So lots going on, and in particular, I want to draw attention to Ash Wednesday. The elders are providing a dinner before our service. The dinner will begin at 6 in the assembly hall. The service will then start at 7. If you are planning to attend that dinner, please take a moment to sign up. There are sign-up sheets in the narthex behind the back doors and also in the elevator lobby. This just helps the elders to know how much pizza to order. So certainly if you forget to sign up or you think you can't be there and you all of a sudden can be, please feel welcome. You don't need to sign up to come, but it is helpful. I also want to draw attention to the Lenten book study that is beginning on March 1st and goes every Wednesday evening through April 15th. If you are interested in being a part of that, please let Lisa in the office know or speak with Reverend Dale or myself so that we can kind of get a sense of who will be joining us. Lots of other things, lots of information, some different things that we're going to be doing this Lenten season, so lots to tune into on that insert. In the elevator lobby on your way down to fellowship that's happening downstairs after the service, I hear it's Valentine's Day theme, so you might want to head down that direction. But on your way, stop at the bulletin board with goodie box signups. We are getting ready to send out our spring goodie boxes to our college students, if you can imagine. So please take a moment to sign up for the various things that we like to include in those boxes for our college students. Oh, let's see here. We are installing our new council members this morning. Things are going to be a little bit different because we have some tight space up here in the chancel, but I will give some direction at that point. But I did want to mention for all new council members, there is a brief orientation in the library after the 10:15 service, this one. So please head downstairs, get some refreshments, and then join us in the library for a brief orientation. And I believe those are all the announcements, unless I'm forgetting something, but I don't think I am. So I'm going to invite you now to join me in taking a very needed, deep, and slow breath. Lots of excitement is happening today, but we can all take a moment to breathe. In fact, we need to, especially now as we breathe in God's Spirit, as we exhale and set aside all of these announcements, all of the things that are busying our hearts and minds, so that we can be fully in tune with God's presence in our midst, that we can focus and lift our hearts and our minds and our voices in a spirit of worship this morning.
If our lives are really a journey with God, then what should we take for the road which lies ahead? Let's start by taking the gifts of the Spirit has given to us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. As we travel in faithfulness toward the future, we face new challenges, old stumbling blocks, rugged and demanding decisions. Yes, and in the midst of all the uncertainty, the lack of clarity, and the fears that well up within us, still we have come to worship, to place our trust in the one who is, I am who I am, the God who is God. In our worship, God is continuing to shape us, mold us, and form us into a holy priesthood, called to love and serve the world. We come to worship, remembering that we are called out of darkness and into a marvelous light, that we are God's beloved. Come, let us. Together, let us confess our sins. Ever listening and patient God, it doesn't take long before we get off course. Our intentions are good, but our values get compromised. Our priorities sidelined. Our focus becomes blurry. We confess we need a reorientation, a new perspective. We need a deeper awareness given our desire for speedy outcomes and misguided shortcuts. God of life and living, we ask that you would restore us, revive us, and reform us for the work in your world. Breathe into us the desire to go deeper into life, service, and love. We ask, trusting fully in your embrace, your grace, and your forgiveness. Amen.
Friends, when we dare to confess our sins, to ask for God's help, to claim our mistakes, we are restored, revived, renewed, and reformed by God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your hearts turn away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And our next reading is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as fleshly, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still fleshly. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not fleshly and behaving according to human inclinations. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not all too human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. I'm going to invite the children to come up and join me. Grab a seat on the steps. I have something very special to share with you today. Come on up. Does he? Yeah. Addie's coming up. Yay. And Brad. Awesome. Everybody's decked out in their Eagles stuff and their colors. Okay. Well, how's everyone doing?
Good.
Good? Awesome. I have a really special plant up here today, but before we talk about this plant, I want to ask you, what does it take to grow a plant?
Water.
Care, water. What else does a plant need to grow?
Attention.
Attention, sun, care, patience. Oh, these are all really good ones. Oh, patience. That is a really, really good one. Love. Yes, it needs love and attention and care. It's a lot like what humans need to grow. Love, attention, care, water, food, you know, those things, sunlight, right? Those are all really important things. Well, this is called an amaryllis. It's a really cool plant. And Mrs. Probst gave me this plant for Christmas. And it looked, if you can imagine without this giant stalk, it was just this bulb. Just this red bulb, nothing was growing out of it. And she told me, now, I'm not a great plant grower, okay? I know there's some people that they say they have a green thumb, meaning they're really good at taking care of plants, right? I don't have a green thumb, right? I'm wearing green, but I don't have a green thumb. So she told me, she says, you don't need to do anything to this plant. Now that's my kind of plant, right? You just, you know what you do? You just watch it grow. That's all you have to do. I set it on my desk in my office, and I watched it grow. And I saw these little sprouts, these shoots come up. And then, like, one day I came back after a weekend, and it had a flower, and it had another flower. Some of the flowers have already fallen off, and this is my latest one, right? And all I had to do was watch it grow. Now, not all flowers are like that, we know. A lot of plants need tending and care and love and things like that. But in our scripture lesson today, I thought this was such a good illustration of what our scripture is saying. In our scripture lesson today, a man named Paul is writing a letter to a church, kind of like ours, in a place called Corinth. It's a city. And he calls all these people are called Corinthians, just like we might call ourselves Lansdalians. Or St. John's people, right? He calls them the Corinthians, and he's writing them a letter, and he's reminding them that, yes, we have jobs to do, right? We need to water the plant. We have some growing. We can do things to help the church grow. We can do different acts. We can participate. We can do all these things, but God does the growing, right? So even when we're caring for a plant, We are God's co-workers. We are God's helpers. We are God's gardeners. We might water the plant, we might care for the plant, but ultimately, God is the one who does the growing. So instead of thinking, hey, that plant really grew because I took care of it, what we might think of is that we are helping God grow things. So this was a really good illustration because it was kind of like, this plant reminds us that God does the growing, right? Our job is to love the beauty that it creates, right? And not always get so caught up in what we can do to fix it and make it better, but just experience this beauty that God creates and grows a lot of times without our help. But sometimes God needs our help, and we have to listen to that too. But God does the growing, okay? Can you say that with me? God does the growing. That's right. Awesome. Well, it's going to be spring pretty soon. It feels like spring out there now, but... Oh, me too. My birthday's in May too, the best month. But as things start popping up, which they're going to start pretty soon because the weather is so warm, maybe you can... I think they're confused too. A lot of the plants are still confused. But even that is a reminder that God does the growing because we're probably not watering those plants out there. And yet, little yellow daffodils will start to come up and little plants will start to come up, and it's a good reminder that we need to take a minute and give thanks for all that God grows, even without our help, right? Okay, well, let's say a prayer together, and then we will join in saying our Lord's Prayer, okay? All right. Those daffodils have already started to come up? I know, they're confused, I think, even though it's February. It's so warm, I know. All right, let's say a prayer together, okay? God, we give you thanks for all of the growing that you do. You grow beautiful things outside. You grow beautiful people. You grow beautiful things in our hearts and in our churches and in our communities, and we're so grateful. And God, help us to be your co-workers, your gardeners, right alongside of you, tending to the things you have planted and watching them grow. Thank you so much for everyone who's gathered, and we pray that today is a day of celebration and that we can come together and share your love with one another. And God, we pray all of these things in the name of Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, thank you so much. Find your seats.
My wife and I had dinner with some friends last night, and we were talking about the intensity of Philadelphia sports fans. It was a topic of immense conversation. I'll say it that way. So our friend went to the game when the Eagles beat the 49ers, trounced the 49ers. And Brian was saying that when the 49ers came out of the tunnel at the beginning of the game, the Philadelphia fans just booed. And the boo was so intense that he thought the stadium was vibrating. And it reminded me of when our family lived in New York and my son was a Yankees fan. Yeah, I hear some murmuring. Yeah. So we decided to take the kids to Boston for a long weekend. And Cameron decided he was going to wear his Yankees hat. Oh, yeah. So we got onto the subway, and the conductor looked at Cameron, who's probably 8 years old, and said, "Cameron, I don't think you should be wearing that hat in Boston." The intensity, though, that we form around teams. What if you were a diehard fan of a team and you suddenly decided to become a fan of another team? You know, this, what feelings would your friends have? They'd be upset. You know, it's sort of like a betrayal. That's how intense these team identifications are. So I want to talk this morning about one of those people who ended up switching teams, for lack of a better way to say it. And I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was an intense religious personality, to say the least. And he was very zealous in his faith, to the point where he believed that the early followers of Jesus, well, they were the enemy, they were the other team. Paul was so intense and so passionate about beating Christians down that he had them persecuted. And then, you know the rest of the story. Then something happened, and the man who was persecuting Christians suddenly found himself planting churches all around the Mediterranean. And one of those churches that he planted was a church, as Pastor Addy shared earlier, was a church in Corinth, Greece, which is about 40 miles from Athens. Very mercantile city, very vibrant city. Paul founded this church, and of course, he left it and started other churches around the Mediterranean, but he would correspond with this church through letters. Several of the letters that he wrote have not survived, but at least two of the letters have. And one of them is named 1 Corinthians. And so Paul is writing this letter to this congregation, and apparently there's all kinds of division in Corinth, in this church. There were folks who were trying to get control of the church. A series of cliques formed within the congregation. There seemed to be this unspoken hierarchy where the wealthy and well-to-do sort of hung out together, and they looked down on the less fortunate members, actually treating them with some disdain. So Paul is writing this letter to this congregation because he senses this lack of authentic community. In fact, Pastor Addie and I were meeting with our confirmation class this past Wednesday evening, and we used a portion of Paul's letter to the Corinthians as a way to illustrate what healthy community is and what it is not. And so this group of very thoughtful young people were sharing with us some of the ways in which they experience unhealthy communities in their schools or in their neighborhoods. They were telling us about bullies, about how people will put other people down, how there's a spirit of meanness and abuse. And I remember one of our young people said, you know, just the lack of kindness. And so as we read this portion of Paul's letter to them, this group of young people began to resonate with, wow, healthy community. This is what it looks like. This is how we should live. Now, one of the things this confirmation class seeks to accomplish is to have our young people confirm with firmness, confirm their values, their sense of faith, what's important to them as Christians who are beginning that journey into adulthood. And of course, this letter that Paul has written to the Corinth church, well, he's addressing adults in this congregation who seem to be very lacking in maturity. Lots of quarreling, lots of disunity, people choosing groups to affiliate with, some attaching themselves to Apollos, who was a great teacher there in Corinth. Others were attaching themselves to the Apostle Paul. The problem was that few, if any, understood that Apollos, Paul, or even the church were not the stars of the show. And this is where the church can sometimes go sideways. It can find itself attaching to personalities or to the organization and not to Christ. As theologian Andrew Root writes, the church is not the star of its own story. But of course, sometimes it thinks it is. And in writing about the decline in mainline Protestant churches in particular, Andrew Root argues that the church has idolatrously made itself the subject of its own story. The church's story has become about the church and its possession of its religion, not the God who is acting in the world and for the world. This is Paul's point in his letter to the church at Corinth. There are people who plant, there are people who water, but God gives the growth. God is the focus. God is the main attraction. And once we understand what God wants, what God is calling us to be and to do, then we can find our rightful place in that work. As Paul writes, we are God's servants, working together with and for God. So the community of faith in Corinth had to shift away from itself, focusing on itself, toward focusing on Christ. And in doing so, Paul writes, you will find life. So I'm going to rewind biblical history just a little bit, and I'm going to take us back to this moment just before the Israelites cross into the promised land. As you remember, they were enslaved in Egypt, and through the miracle of God's grace and energy, they were liberated, they crossed the Red Sea, they wandered in the desert, and finally they came to this place where they could cross over the River Jordan into the promised land. And Moses gives a speech right on the banks of the Jordan River, just before the Israelites were to cross the Jordan, Moses wanted to make sure that the people of God understood they had choices to make as they moved into this new land, this new beginning. They could choose life, or they could choose death. They could choose blessing, or they could choose curse. In other words, they could choose to feed the hungry, to leave a portion of their fields untouched at harvest time so that the poor could come in and glean for themselves. They could do that, or they could leave the hungry to starve. Choose life, choose death. They could cancel debts after a period of time, or they could punish debtors indefinitely. Choose life, choose death. They could protect against excessive wealth, or they could let wealth run rampant and trample the poor. Choose life, choose death. They could care for the stranger or the foreigner, or they could become xenophobic, furthering hatred and animosity. Blessing or curse? They could become mature, or they could live as adolescents. Communities of faith and their members are always being challenged to grow deeper and deeper into maturity. And it doesn't matter what age you are. In fact, I was so impressed with the maturity of the confirmands. And I've known people who are well up in age who are quite immature. You see, you can't expect to mature if you're static, if you're stuck, stagnant. Every time we worship, you and I are being asked to stretch, to grow, to be reminded of who we are and what church is all about. We're being reminded of who we are serving. And the church in Corinth certainly isn't the first church that has struggled in getting its priorities in the right order. It's so easy to get off track. But thank God we have a collection of letters in the Bible, like 1 Corinthians, to help us understand the pitfalls as we seek to be faithful. And that is good news. Amen.
I'm getting myself mixed up. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I have some joys and concerns, actually quite a few joys and concerns to lift up this morning that have been shared with us throughout the week or have been written in our book this morning. Our joys. Many people have celebrated birthdays this past week. Those people include Peter Conver, Sandy Taylor, Ruth Ellman, Ruth Moyer, Bonnie Weber, all celebrated birthdays, so we celebrate with them. Patty and David Thomas celebrated 45 years of marriage yesterday, the 11th of February, so congratulations and happy anniversary to Patty and David. A joy in memory of Betty Travora's birthday from her family, Pat, Bob, and Bill. So we remember Betty on this day. And also a word from Edna McGinley. We have been offering prayers for Edna for quite a while. Edna thanks everyone for their prayers. She has had a successful move to Horsham Center for Jewish Life, where she is, I believe, settling in and doing well. And a few concerns to lift up this morning. Ann Kinsey has asked for prayers for her friend Brandy, so we keep Brandy in our prayers. We've learned recently that Edna Decker passed away a few weeks ago. Prayers for her family and services for Edna will be scheduled at some point this summer. Continued prayers for Ginny Collins. Last week, we let you know that Ginny was in Lansdale Hospital. She is back home at Elm Terrace Garden, but certainly still in need of prayers of healing. So we continue to surround Ginny. We learned this week that Richard Bowers passed away on Tuesday. Services for his family will be in the days ahead. We keep Wayne Fink in our prayers, who is having surgery tomorrow. And Margie Jewell has asked for prayers for her daughter, Heather, who is in the hospital, prayers for comfort and answers in the midst of some waiting. Of course, we also keep in our prayers the people of Turkey and Syria following the massive earthquake. So many lives lost, so much devastation, and so we offer our prayers to them this day. Bearing all of these in mind, lots to lift in prayer this morning, and knowing, of course, we all come to a time of prayer with our own joys and concerns on our hearts and minds, I invite you to lift them up with me to God together now. God, there are choices to make every single day. Some are no-brainers, some much more difficult, some impossible. Some impact only us and our lives, and some bear much more weight and impact on so many others. When it comes down to it, however, choosing to embrace our identity as one of your beloved ones, a member of your family, choosing to listen for your voice in the wilderness is where it all begins. You are a God of discernment, not making the tough stuff magically disappear or making our choices for us, but helping us to navigate who we choose to be and what we choose to do in this world. You help us to choose how to respond to the many things in life we think we have little choice about. In all of our navigating, O God, help us. Help us to make decisions that make us feel as though we are walking in stride with you. Help us to make choices that lift up rather than tear down. Help us to choose life, to choose life-giving things. Help us to make choices that point to your love and your grace, rather than our own agendas or desires. Help us to make choices that are from the heart, that lean into your light of hope rather than the darkness of our fear. God, it is a choice to come to you in prayer, to bring all of our joys and concerns, all of our heartaches and celebrations, all of our worries and cares, and lay them at your feet. It is a choice to surrender all that we carry and allow you to bear the load. So we ask, O God, that you hear our prayers now. With joy as we celebrate Peter and Sandy, Ruth and Bonnie. With joy as we celebrate Patty and David and their anniversary. As we remember Betty and we celebrate with Edna and her new move and wish her well. God, hear our prayers of concern for Brandy, for the family of Edna, for Ginny and her family, for Richard's family, for Wayne as he prepares for surgery, for Heather as she waits for answers. God, we offer our prayers this day for the people of Turkey and Syria and all those surrounding and being impacted by such devastation. We pray for all those who have lost loved ones, who have lost homes, who have lost sense of security and safety. God, we pray for all the places in the world touched by devastation. Now, O God, hear our silent prayers as we lift up those that weigh on our own hearts and minds. Hear our prayers, O God. As we face the days ahead, help us to fix our eyes on you and where you are working in our midst. May we observe your goodness and mercy in our world. May we not turn a blind eye to the hurt and injustice. And may we choose life. May we choose to see with our hearts, to grow, to stretch, to create hope and life wherever we go. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh, Christ,
As we have mentioned before, and as you'll see in your bulletins, it is the Sunday in which we officially install our new council members. We just talked a lot about choices, and it is indeed a choice to do the work of the church together, to join council, and to make up the boards that help to keep St. John's running. And it is not an easy choice, and it is not one to be taken lightly. It is one that we honor in the midst of our service, but it's also one that we want to lay hands upon and bless, because it is important work, it's hard work, and it's work that involves vision and prayer and a lot of grace. So, with that, a little bit different this year because we wouldn't all fit up here. So we're going to do it a little bit differently, but we do want all of you to be able to see and to greet and also to pray upon, not pray upon, pray over. Pray over. Our council members. Don't pray upon them, okay? So we will be listing the names of our returning council members as well as our new coming council members. The new ones are listed in the bulletins. There's a little caret by their name, which we learned this week. So if you are a returning council member, we're going to ask that you stand in the first pew here. If you are a new oncoming council member, we're going to ask that you stand on the floor, and Dale and I are going to take up residence here on the steps. And then when we do the laying on of hands, it'll be a little easier to connect with the whole congregation. So, on our Board of Deacons, we have Rick Fancialacci, Don Gibson, Bonnie Moyer, and Scott Vanderberg. So, I don't know if any of them are here. Rick is an 8 o'clocker, so. Oh, they might be downstairs. Okay, well, so when we call your name, please do come forward.
Educators, Kathy and Tom Albach, Mary Billy, Michelle Forsyth, Jennifer Gilbert, Sarah Hogan, Margie Jewell.
You have Michelle coming up with you. Our Board of Elders, we have Sally Atkiss, Chris Bodie, Susan Fitzpatrick, Bonnie and Ken Hales, Debbie Hendricks, and Ann Kinsey.
Trustees, Bob Bertolette, David Douglas, Brad Hamlin, Brian Hutchison, Mark O'Neill, and Dan Panachida.
There we go. And of course, we also have our officers. Our new oncoming Council President, Liz Rivett, and Vice President, Mark Bruin, and our Secretary, Wendy O'Connor.
Treasurer, Matt Carson, Finance Committee Chair, Grace Bruin, and Personnel Committee Chair, Liz Vanderberg.
I invite you to follow along in your bulletins as we share a blessing. Sisters and brothers in Christ, it is an honor to be entrusted with responsibility for particular service in the ministry of the church, whether gathered or scattered. Having prayerfully considered the duties and responsibilities of your ministry, are you prepared to serve with the help of God in Christ's name and for the glory of God?
And do you promise to exercise your ministry diligently and faithfully, showing forth the love of Christ?
I do, relying on God's grace.
Members of this community of faith, you have heard the promises of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have answered God's call to service. Let us affirm our intention to live in covenant with them. We gather in celebration of the joy that is ours to be partners with you in the service of Jesus Christ. We promise to love you, honor your leadership, and assist you that together we may be in faithful Church of Jesus Christ.
Well, I suppose in football language, we're going to move into the huddle. This is the part of the service where we actually lay on hands invoking the Holy Spirit. So to the degree that you're comfortable, why don't we move in together? And then I'd like to ask members of the congregation, all you simply have to do is place your hand on the shoulder of the person near or in front of you. If you're comfortable, I know we're still living in the residuals of COVID, but let's be together here in this laying on of hands. So I will place my hand, and you all place your hands on each other. And if you are able to connect with each other in the congregation, wonderful. Gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that you have brought before us today in the form of leadership. We pray that your Spirit would strengthen these individuals, provide them with wisdom and insight, and certainly expand their hearts in love for your church, trusting, Almighty God, that you will lead and take us as your people to the promised land that we are called to serve in. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you all. We now have an opportunity to lift up the gifts that have been offered this day in the form of our offering. So I invite you to stand as we join in singing our doxology, as our gifts are brought forward and as we dedicate them to God.
Gracious and loving God, ruler of the universe, lover of life, bringer of hope, we entrust these gifts to you, knowing that you will use them, that they become the seeds, the sunshine, and the water as your kingdom grows. Bless this people, their lives, on this day and every day. Amen. We have choices to make. We can choose life and blessing, or death and curse. My friends, choose wisely. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Go Birds!